Full house. Cut the intro. Whatever. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing good.
Doing fabulous. I'm doing good. Y'all join with me in prayer, praying for my barber. He's a little lazy. Me, that's myself. I need a haircut real bad. No, I'm not talking about when I talk. I'm the lazy one. I'm going to read you something here right quick. I thought it was pretty funny, so I'm going to read it for you. Pastor went to his church office on Monday morning and discovered a dead mule in the churchyard. He telephoned the police. Since there did not appear to be any foul play, the police referred the pastor to the health department. They explained, since there's no health threat, you'll need to call the sanitation department. When the pastor called the sanitation department, the manager of the sanitation department said, I can't pick up that dead mule without authorization from the mayor. The pastor was not at all too eager to call the mayor, who possessed a very bad temper and was always extremely unpleasant and hard to deal with, but eventually the pastor called the mayor anyway. The mayor did not disappoint the pastor. The mayor immediately began to rant and rave. After his continued rant at the pastor, the mayor finally said, "Why did you call me anyway? Isn't it your job to bury the dead?" The pastor paused for a brief prayer and asked the Lord to direct his response. The Lord led the pastor to the words he was seeking. "Yes, Mayor, it is my job to bury the dead, but I always like to notify the next of kin first." That was funny right there. I had a good laugh at that one. But I want to continue on the subject of growth, since that's where we've been planted at, no pun intended, here for the past few weeks. Oh, we can go on puns all day long. But before we get into it, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, your loving kindness, your tender mercies, God. We thank you for everything that you've done for us in our lives. We ask, Father, that your word be preached tonight, that your word be ministered tonight, Lord, that it not be my words, that it not be fancy words or eloquent words or words that have been planned, God, but words that come out of your word, your mouth, your throne. And we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we ask that you touch every life in this place, God, every heart, every mind, every soul. Let us be open to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk about growth a little bit, growth through the process. And we're going to be taking our text out of Genesis 37, if you want to go there. Everybody is familiar with the story. We've heard it over and over and over and over again throughout the eons and ages of time. It's about Joseph. So when you get there, say amen. Jump up and down, run in circles if you want to. It's America. You can do. It's a free country. So we're going to start at verse 1. So Jacob settled again, and mine's going to read a little different because I'm reading from the New Living. So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of the other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. And we'll stop right there for now. But what I want to talk about is the process, the plan that we come up with for our growth. Growth does require planning. It requires you to have a plan of action. It requires you to do certain things. It requires you to write certain stuff down. Ideas, dreams, you know, that you're going to have, that you're going to do. All of this requires some type of planning. But the Bible says that a man plans his ways, but the Lord orders his steps. So a lot of times we want to plan our own way. We want to make this big elaborate scheme of our own life. And we're going to do this. We're going to build this. We're going to be this. We're going to build an orphanage. We're going to help the homeless. You know, we're going to have all these big plans. And it all sounds good to us in our mind. It all seems great and grand, but God is ordering our steps. He has a plan for us. So what we find out about Joseph in this text is that Joseph goes to work for his dad, working with his half-brothers, and he starts reporting back to his dad all the bad things that his brothers are doing. He starts being a tattletale, basically, the snitch. So he goes out, he finds out what his brothers are doing, he comes running back to his dad, and he's like, "Dad, this is what Judah's doing, Judah's being bad," you know, just being the little brother, you know, telling dad, trying to get dad's favor. Dad already loved Joseph because of a totally different reason, not because Joseph was telling him all the bad things that his brothers were doing. He already loved Joseph because he was his youngest son. He was born of the wife that he loved. So it wasn't anything that Joseph could do to earn his father's love. It wasn't anything that Joseph could plan out to earn his father's love. It was all based upon his father loving him just free of charge. But Joseph had this plan. I'll go out. I'll find my brothers. I'll figure out what they're doing. Then I'm going to go over here and I'm going to tell my dad. And that's going to earn me love. And Jacob probably responded that way to him. "Oh, great, thanks for telling me that, you know. That's a good job. Thanks for being a good, a watchful eye out there on the field, saving me money." You know, he was probably praising that, you know, unbeknownst to Jacob. But Joseph was taking that as, I do this, he does that. So Joseph's planning. I'm going to win my father's favor. I'm going to win my father's favor. I'm going to do this. I'm going to earn it. This is how I'm going to earn my father's favor. He's got this plan. Well, God had a different plan. God comes to him in dreams and shows him a few dreams. And it shows his brothers bowing down, shows his brothers and his father bowing down to Joseph. And Joseph, all of a sudden, well, now I've got my father's favor. And God's showing me this in this dream about my brothers and my father bowing down. This must mean something. If I keep doing this to earn this, then I'm going to keep doing this, and it's going to get me to there. It's going to get me to the place where my brothers and my father are bowing down to me, and I am king of my tribe, basically. So Joseph gets this in his mind. So he goes and he tells his father, and he tells his brother. Well, then that just makes it worse. How many times have we been there? We've had a good idea. We've had a good plan. We've had this idea pop in our head, and we're like, "Oh, man, that sounds so great." And we go out, and we actually succeed at it, and God gives us some favor in the area, and we go out, and we tell somebody else about our plan and our idea. Well, they get jealous. They get envious, and strife starts to build up because they say, "Well, how come he's getting blessed? How come he's getting the favor? How come he gets the special jacket with the many colors sewed together? How come he gets the father's love?" Not knowing that they also have the father's love. It's like the story of the two sons. And the prodigal son runs away, the one son stays there. Well, when the prodigal son comes home, the father's, he is excited. He's happy. Go kill the calf. Bring a robe, a ring, a pair of shoes, put a turban on his head. Let's get this guy clothed. Let's get him back into the household. Well, the older son comes up and he says, Dad, you're throwing this great big gigantic party. You've invited the whole town. They've come out. We're partying it up. You've got calves roasting in the back. What's the deal? I've been with you. I've stayed with you. I've been here all this time, and you haven't not once thrown me a party. He says, you could have easily thrown your own party. You could have easily thrown your own party. Why? Everything that I have is yours. It's here. It's already at your disposal. So a lot of times we miss the thing that's taking place in our life. We miss that we have everything at our disposal. We have the grace of God right here in our hands. We have the goodness of God right here in our hands. We have everything that heaven offers right here for us to advance the kingdom of God in this earth. And we miss it because we see somebody else getting blessed more than we are. We miss it because we see somebody else doing something better than what we're doing, or we think it's better than what we're doing. We don't know what that person's going through. You don't know what Jennifer and Marcos go through when they go feed the homeless. You don't know what that requires of them, the sacrifice it requires of their life, the things that they have to do behind the scenes. You don't know what that requires. All you see is Marcos is going out there and preaching. He's feeding the homeless. He's reaching the community. You don't see the process it takes to get him there. So when we look at other people and we say, well, they're getting blessed, they're doing these things, and all this stuff has happened to them, we have the same opportunity. We've got the same opportunity right here in our hands. All we have to do is go out and make it happen. All we got to do is pick up our own 2 feet, get off of our lazy rear ends, and get out there and do something. That's all it takes. It's one step at a time. It's not you jumping jumping leaps and bounds. It's you taking one step at a time. Serving God is like going 30 seconds at a time. Following Jesus is like following for 30 seconds at a time. You don't have to follow him for years and years and years to be able to follow Jesus. You just got to be able to follow him 30 seconds at a time. That's the best way to look at it. That's the best way to follow Jesus. If you try to map it out and plan, well, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to. This is where I'm going to go. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be that. I'm going to be on TV. We're going to have billboards. We're going to reach many nations. We're going to go out. We're going to have a global ministry. We're going to have airplanes, and we're going to fly across the world, and people are going to be donating and giving for this cause. I just see it now. Everything's going. But Jesus is saying, hey, can you just follow me for 30 seconds? Can you just follow me for 5 minutes? How about we just take it one step at a time, one day at a time, one moment at a time? But Joseph, he gets these plans in his head. He starts thinking this elaborate thing. He's like, man, my brothers are going to bow to me. My father's going to bow to me. I'm going to be this king. I'm going to be this high up guy. I'm going to have all this stuff at my disposal. And he's got this big, great, gigantic plan going on in his head. But what he doesn't know is God has a different plan. God has a different plan. God's plan didn't look like Joseph's plan. Joseph's plan looked like the easy way. When we envision this thing, all we see is the end result. We see everything happening in this big. When you dream, I don't know about you, but I have big dreams. So when I dream big, and I see it like a big IMAX theater screen. I see the end result. I see it all playing out. And I'm like, man, that's awesome right there. That's where I want to be. In 10 years, that's where I want to be. In 15 years, that's where at the end of my life, this is where I want to be right here. This is where I want to end up. And I see it. It's on a big screen playing out before me. I see the end result. But what I don't see is the process it takes to get me there. And the process it takes to get me there is 1 foot in front of the other. 1 foot in front of the other. I can't go from right here where I'm at to that end result in one big giant step. It would kill me. The load would be too great. How many we've seen televangelists, we've seen pastors and preachers all over the world, all over the nation. They've been put in these positions. Either their father has built the ministry up, or somebody before him has built the ministry up, and then they've been pushed into this position, and they've not been able to handle it because their integrity wasn't built up. Their character wasn't there. So they've come crumbling down. because they weren't able to hold it up. They've been pushed into a position that they weren't ready for. So growth is the process. It requires a process. It requires you to grow through that process. We don't want to grow through the process. We want it to be over in 30 seconds. We want it to happen now. I want to be a millionaire. 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 God, you promised me I was going to be a millionaire. You promised me. And it still doesn't happen. Here you are 40 years later, and you're still, you promised me I was going to be a millionaire. And you're still looking for it. You're still hoping for it. You're still dreaming about it. Many times you'll go to the pastor. I just don't understand. I'm doing all the right things. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I read my Bible every day. I pray. I really try to seek the Lord with everything that's in me. I just don't understand. Why isn't he giving me $1 million yet? I don't understand it. Maybe it's your character. Maybe it's your integrity. Maybe it's what's going to happen to you or somebody in your family or some. You see where it's trickling down. Maybe it's not just you. Maybe it's the people under you. Maybe it's the generation following after you that's going to be in trouble. If you won the lottery, if you won $100 million in the lottery, how would that change your life? Change it drastically. Because now you've got stuff to do, things that you've never been able to do before. Now you've got money, and money makes things happen. Change your life drastically. And it would also change your family's life. It would change your kids' life. It would change their kids' life. Some of us would use it in a way that would change it for the better, but some of us might not use it in that way. Some of us might blow it. Some of us might go off the deep end and go spend about 3 weeks in Vegas. Living it up, boy! Woo! I got the money now. But you don't know. And maybe that's the part of your integrity that needs to be worked on, but you still have to go through that process to get your integrity to where it needs to be, to get your character where it needs to be. Joseph had a character issue. He had a character flaw because he was going and spying on his brothers and taking it back to his father and tattletaling. They've been doing this. They've been out here gambling your sheep away with the Midianites. They've been out here gambling your sheep away with the Amalekites. I've seen them out here doing all this debauchery. They've been drinking it up, been partying at night. He's been going over here tattletaling to his father. He's got a character issue. Instead of just going to God with their issue and praying about it and talking to God about it, rather than going to somebody else and talking to them, he's going to somebody else. He's got a gossip issue, it looks like. He's got a complex. He's got an identity crisis because he really doesn't know who he is yet. He's just a little teenage boy. He's a snot-nosed teenage boy. Doesn't know who he is yet. He's got an identity crisis, so he's been going to his dad trying to find his identity in his dad, trying to find his identity in the approval of his father. So he's got that complex going on. He's got that character issue. So he's planning these big, elaborate plans, but God says, hold up. Hold up, let's take this step. But it doesn't look like what I've got. It doesn't matter, just take this step. But it doesn't, we wrote this down on paper. You gave me these dreams, and we wrote this down on paper. How many's ever done that? You've got this dream, you've got a dream board, you've made a dream board, you put all this stuff that you're going to do on there, you wrote it down, you've made a list, and you're like, I got all these dreams, this is all the things going to happen in 10 years, this is all the things I'm going to accomplish, you got all this stuff wrote down. Joseph's standing there before God, you told me, this is the dream. This is the dream you gave me when they were bowing before me. This is the dream you gave me when the sun and the stars were bowing before me. God said, I know, but just hold on. Take this step. Take this step. And this step. And this step. We want to take big, giant leaps of faith when God's saying, just take a step of faith. It doesn't have to be a leap. It doesn't have to be you don't have to jump the Grand Canyon overnight. All you got to do is take just one step of faith. So God's plan looked a lot different than Joseph's plan. Because God's plan involved Joseph going out to his brothers one day, taking them some cheese or wine or whatever. He was taking them a gift. And he gets out there and other people also have plans for you. You just don't make plans for yourself. And God doesn't just have a plan for you. Other people also have plans for you. Other people will make plans for your life. And if you let it, it will carry you down a pathway that you don't even want to be on. Because you've allowed somebody else to make a plan for your life. But these boys, they sat down, and the Bible actually says, soon after this, Joseph's brothers went to pasture their father's flocks at Shechem. When they had been gone for some time, Jacob said to Joseph, your brothers are pasturing the sheep at Shechem. Get ready, and I will send you to them. I'm ready to go, Joseph replied. I'm ready. Just send me. I'm ready for it. Get ready, boy. Get ready. And he's like, no, I'm ready. Just send me. Just go ahead. I'm ready for this. Joseph had no idea what was going to take place when he got down to Shechem. He just thought he was ready. So Joseph replied, go and see your brothers. He said, I'm ready to go, Joseph replied. Go and see your brothers and the flocks. How your brothers and the flocks. Excuse me, I'll get it right here in a minute. Go and see how your brothers and the flocks are getting along. Jacob said, then come back and bring me a report. So Jacob sent him on his way, and Joseph traveled to Shechem from their home to the valley of Hebron. When he arrived there, a man from the area noticed him wandering around the countryside. What are you looking for? He asked. I'm looking for my brothers, Joseph replied. Do you know where they are pasturing their sheep? Yes, the man told him. They moved on from here, but I heard them say, let's go down to Dothan. So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and found them there. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans. So you've got Joseph making plans, you've got God ultimately planning, and then you've got somebody else, his brothers, making plans for him also. So now they're making plans to kill him. God's plan was a lot different. God's sitting back, he's orchestrating this whole thing. His brothers are planning, Joseph's planning. All of their plans are about to rush together because they're planning to kill him. But then God intervenes and says, no, don't kill him. Let's just sell him off. Let's sell him to the Egyptians. Let's sell him into slavery. So he gets sold into slavery, goes to Potiphar's house. Potiphar takes him on, and Potiphar sees that everything this man does is favored of the Lord. Everything that this man puts his hand to, it automatically turns to gold. He's got the Midas touch. Everything that he touches turns to gold. He went over there and he touched a cat and it turned into gold, and now they worship cats over in Egypt. Now, that's a joke. It's a joke. Come on. You're supposed to laugh. But everything he touched prospered. Everything he did prospered. So Potiphar sees this. Potiphar hires him. Well, then somebody else also has a plan for him, which is Potiphar's wife. She's got a plan for him. She's got big plans for Joseph. Plans get Joseph in trouble. So Joseph does the wise thing. It's his integrity. His integrity is at stake. This was a challenge on his character. This was a challenge on his integrity. So now his integrity is at stake. A woman is trying to seduce him into her bedroom. A very powerful man's woman is trying to seduce him into her bedroom. So now Joseph's faced with the decision. Do I obey her or do I obey him? This is the man who feeds me. This is the man who clothes me. This is the man that's taking care of me right now. He's entrusted me with all of this stuff. I am the head of his household right now. I'm taking care of all of his business, handling all of his things. Do I complicate things with him, or do I go after her? So Joseph's a single man. He's a young guy. He's probably, I got it, boy. Come on, you've been young once. You've been young once. All you men in here, we've been young. But Potiphar's wife was like, Joseph looks good. Joseph's hot. Looks a lot better than that old man I'm married to. So she's trying to seduce him, and Joseph's torn. So now he's got a plan and a plan working. So Joseph makes a decision. He makes a decision to go the integrity way. He makes a decision to go the character way. And where's it land him? In prison. He made the decision to do the right thing. How many's done that? We've made the decision to do the right thing. And it's turned around and it's bit us right in the old keister. Kicked us right in the tail. We made the decision to do the right thing. I did the right thing. It wasn't supposed to turn out like this. I've been doing all the right stuff. Why is it happening this way? Why is this taking place? I've been going and praying for people. I've been ministering at the church. I've been reading my Bible. I've been doing my devotions. And still, I'm stuck in this same old rut that I've always been. Why is it happening this way? It's not supposed to happen like this. This is not how the dream played out when I was watching it on that big IMAX theater screen. This is not how it happened. This is not how it happened. Then they do this. Come on, you got kids. They roll around on the floor. Ah, it's the end of the world, I'm telling you. You take something away from them, it's going against their plan for what they want to do. They're, oh my God. Ah. They're crying, big tears running down their face. They're pulling their hair up, and their hair's sticking all up, and they're starting to get all hot and sweaty and bothered, rolling around on the floor, and you're like, I just took your fire truck away. You're not dying. Get up out of the floor. But now Joseph's like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is taking place. I can't believe I've been doing all the right stuff. Everything that I've put my hand to has been blessed. Everything that I put my hand to, it's worked out for the good. It's made Potiphar a lot of money. It's made Egypt a lot of money. It's helped out his household. It's helped him move up in the ranks, possibly with Pharaoh. And now here I am. I should be the one in Potiphar's place, because everything that Potiphar's blessed with has been because of my hands. It's been because I put my hand to it. So everything that Potiphar's blessed with, it should be mine. But now here I am. I'm stuck in the depths of this prison, this stinky old prison, and all I have is water and bread to eat. He's up there living high on the hog. His filthy old wife is up there. She's living high on the hog. She's the one that got me put in this place. I didn't even do anything to deserve this. So why is it happening to me? Why am I in this situation? Why am I in this place? It's all part of the plan. It's all part of, it's not your plan. It may not be your plan. It may not be how you dreamed it out. It may not be how other people have dreamed it out for you, but it's all part of the plan, because Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. So I have to believe that even though I'm stuck down in the belly of a prison, eating bread, stale bread, and drinking stagnated water, that it's all part of the process that I have to go through to get my character where it needs to be in order to to carry the load that I need to carry for God to do what he needs to do in this earth to advance his kingdom through me. So while he's in prison, everything Joseph does, guess what? Turns to gold. It's blessed. Soon after he gets put in prison, the warden starts seeing him. This guy knows how to do stuff. This guy, I don't know what it is about him. There's something on the inside of him that is greater than any of these other guys. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. So there's something on the inside of you that's greater than something on the inside that's on the outside that's working against you. There's something on the inside of you that's greater than what's on the outside working against you. It's greater than the prison you're in. It's greater than the famine you're in. It's greater than the problem you're facing. It's greater than the circumstance that's come against you. It's greater than it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. So the warden sees Joseph and says there's something on the inside of him that makes everything he does turn to gold. Everything that he does is favored of the Lord. So we've got to put him in a position of trustee. So now he's in a position of trustee. So now he's worked his way up in the prison. Worked his way up in Potiphar's house. Worked his way up, but he's still working his way up. Still working his way up. Joseph thinks it's got something to do with him, but it has nothing to do with him. And that's what God was trying to get out of Joseph. It has nothing to do with you trying to earn your father's love. It has nothing to do with you trying to earn your father's loyalty. It has nothing to do with you trying to earn your father's goodness. It has everything to do with the Lord being on your side. It has everything to do with greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It has everything to do with Jesus. It has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with Jesus. That's what God was wanting Joseph to learn in this process. So now growth requires planning. Growth requires direction. Growth requires Jesus. And guess what? Growth isn't safe. Growth was never promised to be safe. Nobody ever stood up and said, you're going to be going through this growth process, and this growth process is going to be 100% safe. They always throw that 99.99999% in there. Nobody ever says it's 100%. It's not going to kill 100% of the bacteria. It's going to kill 99.9999%. Growth is going to be 99.999% safe. Nobody ever made the promise that it's going to be 100% safe. You're going to have the direction. You're going to have the direction. You're going to have the planning. You're going to have Jesus. But it's not going to be safe. There's things that happen in your life. There's problems that arise in your life. We see it in Joseph's life. He goes from almost being killed by his brothers to being sold into slavery to going to Potiphar's house to fighting off a woman who wants to seduce him into her bedroom and have him beheaded by Potiphar. And so he fought off death again. Well, now he's in prison fighting off death again, works his way up to trustee, and now here he is at the pinnacle of his life, and he's probably 35, 40 years old at this point, and he's got nothing to show for it but trustee of the prison guards. I'm 35 years old. I'm 40 years old, and I've got nothing to show for my life. What have I been doing with my life? This is why so many people have midlife crisis, because they look back on their life and they say, what have I been doing with my life? What has been going on in my life? I could have been this. I should have done that. What has been taking place in my life? And they break down. They have a mental breakdown, and they go into midlife crisis mode. Because now they're trying to struggle, because here they are. They're 40 years old, and all they've got is roughly 30 to 40 more years to live on this earth. And if they look back on their last 40 years and they're saying, what in the world took place in that 40 years? Well, I've got to do something about this 40 years. I'm not going to let this 40 years affect what's going on in this 40 years. So now they're in crisis mode, trying to figure out how this. So now Joseph, he's at the pinnacle of his life. He's like 35, 40 years old, and he's struggling. He's figuring out, what do I got to do next? My plan is not working out the way I thought it was going to work out. But here I am, and I just got to trust God to do what He's doing, what He's been doing in my life. Everything, I could be at the bottom of the barrel. I could be dead by now, but I'm not dead. He's brought me this far. Oh, God has brought you too far. He's brought you this far for a purpose. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. He didn't bring you this far to leave you hanging out to dry. But He's brought you this far because He's been working things out in your life. He's been working things out for the good in your life. He's brought you this far for a purpose. You're still alive. You're still walking planet Earth for a purpose. So stop feeling down about yourself. Stop feeling like you don't have a purpose in this life. Stop feeling like you don't have no motivation to do anything in this life. You need to realize that you're here. You're here for the kingdom of God. You're here for the purpose of God. You're here to help the homeless. You're here to help the poor. You're here to help the widow. You've got a purpose in this life. And if you will wake up and realize what God is doing in you, you wouldn't be worried about what somebody else is getting blessed with. That should not be your focal point. You should not be focused on what somebody else is getting blessed with. You should be focused on where you are right now in this 30-second walk with Jesus. But here he is in prison. He's standing there. And he's going back over all the years of his life. And then the king, Pharaoh, starts having dreams. And he has dreams. And he has recurring dreams. And he goes to his soothsayers. He goes to his magicians. And he's trying to figure out what these dreams mean. What is this? There's something behind these dreams. I keep having the same dream over and over. How many's ever had a recurring dream? You're like, I know there's something about this dream. There's got to be something taking place in this dream. There's something that's going to happen. Something's going to take place. I just got to get it figured out. Well, Pharaoh's kept going through that same turmoil. He's trying to figure out what's going to happen, what's going to take place. I keep having these dreams. I can't figure it. Nobody can figure them out. Well, one of the guys that Joseph helped keep his life in prison, because he was able to interpret a dream, he says, wait a minute. There's this guy in prison who was able to interpret my dream. Maybe I should bring that up to the Pharaoh. Now's a good time to mention that. When the Pharaoh's having dreams and he needs an interpreter, but... So now's a good time to mention that I know an interpreter. So he goes, mentions that Joseph was able to interpret his dream. So he brings Joseph out. Joseph interprets the dream. The Pharaoh sets him up. I want you to handle it. You take care of it. So now he's in one, he is above Potiphar. So he went from almost losing his life to the hand of his brothers, being sold into slavery, going to prison, coming out of prison, standing before kings. But it was all a part of God's plan. It wasn't Joseph's plan. Joseph would have never said, let me go get thrown in this well, get sold into slavery, get thrown into prison, spend half of my life in prison, and now decide I'm going to stand before a king. That would have never been Joseph's dream. That would have never been Joseph's plan. Joseph didn't dream that up. That wasn't part of his plan. But God had a different plan. He was working on Joseph's character. He was working on his integrity. If Joseph would have failed the integrity test, he would have lost his life. So God had to work him through, show him the integrity process, show him the character process, show him a different side of who God is. Every time we go through something, we should always come out on the other side with a different view of who He is. We should never go through a circumstance, a problem, a situation. We should never face a battle in our life and go through that thing, come out on the other side and not learn a darn thing. We should always come out with a better view of who He is. We should always come out with a better glimpse of who Jesus is. We should always come out with a better picture of who God is. So Joseph goes through prison coming out with a better view of who he was, of who God was, of who the I Am was. So now he could say, I've been in the well. I've been in slavery. I've been held in the clutches of seduction, almost lost my life. And now I'm in prison. And now I'm fixing to stand before kings. So he's up on a pedestal probably. He's preaching to the prison. Look, guys, if it can happen for me, then it can happen for you. I've been to that well. I've been to that prison. I've been in slavery. I've been bound by those chains. I've been bound by those ropes. And if it happened for me, it can happen for you. If God brought me through this, if God brought me out of this situation, then he can bring you out of this situation. If God brought me through prison, he can bring you, Marcos, you can testify that God can bring you out of prison. If God brought me through these chains of addiction, then he can bring you through these chains of addiction. If God brought me through cancer, then he can bring you through cancer. If God brought me out, then he can bring you out. Joseph now has the testimony of the Lord on his side. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So it wasn't just enough for Joseph to have the coat of many colors and the favor of God on his side. He had to have the testimony to back his life up. Everybody in here, whether you've been addicted to drugs, whether you've been going to church all of your life, everybody in here has a testimony. Everybody in here has a testimony. Everybody in here has been through things. You've been through a process. You're still going through a process. You're in a process. You're coming out on the other side of that process. You have the testimony, so you can stand with boldness and say, it's by the blood of the Lamb. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. It was the blood that was shed for me on Calvary, and that it's by his testimony, not my testimony. So even if you have been in church all of your life and you don't feel like that you have an adequate testimony to praise the Lord with, all you've got to do is say, it's not because of me. It's because of him. It's not because of who I am. It's because of who he is. I may not have an adequate testimony, but he does. He is the one who was and is to come. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He is the one who is coming back for me, and it's him that I serve. It's him that I live for. It is his blood that runs through my veins. He is my daddy, and I don't care what you say. He's got my back. He's got my back. Joseph's dad dies. After Joseph saves them from famine, saves Egypt from famine, saves his brothers. See, God was preserving a generation through Joseph. Joseph didn't see it. Joseph couldn't realize it. But what God was doing was he was preserving a generation through Joseph. He preserved all of Israel. All 12 tribes of what would be the Israel nation was preserved because Joseph was willing to go through the process. What generation is following us? Woo. What generation is following us? What generation is waiting on us to go through the process? What generation is waiting on you to come out on the other side of the process? God is working through you to preserve a generation. He's working through you to preserve a posterity. He's working through you to preserve his children, his kingdom, his church in this earth. He's working through you. But if you're not willing to go through the process, if you're not willing to stay in it and get through it, then you're not ever going to see the fulfillment of God's purpose. You're not ever going to see the fulfillment of God's plan working through your life. You will die in the middle of your process if you're not willing to stand in faith. The Bible says that people overcome because they had faith. The people overcome because they had faith. Abraham overcame because he had faith. Abraham didn't overcome because Abraham was perfect. Abraham overcame because Abraham had faith.
Moses didn't overcome because he was perfect. Moses killed a man. Moses killed a man and was banished to the backside of a desert and was left raising sheep at his father-in-law's house. But he didn't overcome because he was perfect. He overcame because when God said, go through the process, he went through the process. We've got to make it through the process. We've got to get through to the other side. Growth is not safe. Quit thinking growth is safe. Quit thinking that it's a safe. Christianity is not safe. Following Jesus isn't safe. Is Jesus kind? Yes. Does he love you? Yes. Will anything in this world ever be able to shake you? No. The Bible says that we've been given an unshakable kingdom. When everything else has fallen around, the Bible says that if we will build our house upon the rock who is Christ, then everything else will be falling out around us. 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right side, but nothing will come near our dwelling place. But it doesn't say that it will be safe. The things may be rocking. Things may be shaking. Pictures might be falling off the wall. You might step out of the boat and start walking on water and then start sinking. That doesn't constitute safety. In my book, that doesn't constitute safety. You might step out of the boat and start walking on water and then start sinking. But what I love about that story is that right in the middle of it all, Peter's standing on the side of the boat. He looks out and they see the ghost. What they think is a ghost, which is really Jesus. Which, another interesting side note on that story is that Jesus sent them across the river, across the sea. He said, you boys go get in the boat. I'm going to go over here and pray. You go get in the boat and you go across. Jesus was omniscient. All-knowing, all-powerful, God manifested in the flesh. He knew that the westerly wind was going to be blowing in. He knew that the storm was going to be flowing in about the time that they were going to make it to the halfway point across the sea. He knew it was going to happen. God's sovereign. It happens that way. Amen. But Jesus says, look, you get in that boat and you go across that sea. So they get in the boat. Because they're 30-second followers. They follow Jesus every 30 seconds. 30 seconds at a time. So they get in that boat. And they go across the sea. They don't have a clue that the storm's blowing in. They know it's the rainy season, but they don't know that it's going to happen the way it's about to play out. So they get in the boat and they go across that sea. And then the wind starts picking up. The waves start getting higher. They're in this little bitty, I don't imagine they're in a ship. I imagine they're in a little boat, probably 30 feet long, maybe 15 feet wide. They're in a fishing boat on the Galilee Sea, not a very big boat. So they're in that boat. The waves are high. The boat's tumbling up and down. The winds are blowing. The mast probably broke over by the wind. It probably snapped, and now they're struggling. They're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And then, to top it all off, Jesus shows up unannounced, walking on water, looking like a ghost. Come on, Jesus. You're going to scare the boys out of their wits. They're already scared. They're on the brink of death, and Jesus shows up looking like a ghost, and they're like, it's a ghost! Oh my God! And then Peter says, is it you, Jesus? If it's you, let me come out there with you. Peter has a plan in his head. This is all a figment of his imagination. He is seeing this all in his mind. He is not really experiencing this. There's no Jesus standing out there on the water. He's hysterical because he's scared to death. So Peter says, yeah, if it's you, let me come out there with you. And this is the pinnacle. This is the pinnacle of the whole story. This is the moment. This is the words that captivate every heart on that boat at this moment.
Jesus says, I am. Come on, Peter. I am. If you're a Jewish person in that time and Jesus says, I am, you automatically recognize that as a term for Jehovah God. I am that I am. So Jesus, standing there on the water, looks at Peter and says, come on, I am. Come on, Peter, I am. So now Peter, Jesus called Peter's bluff what he did. Peter's like, well, just 1 minute. You can do this. You can do this. Come on, James, smack me in the face. Smack me in the face. Come on. Smack me in the face. Come on. You know how you get socked up? You get socked up in the locker rooms. Guys banging their heads against the locker. If you've ever been in a men's locker room, you know what's going on. People smacking people in the face, butting heads, throwing each other on. They're getting socked up. So now Peter's like, come on, James, psych me up. Come on, smack me in the face. Come on, boy, I got to get over this boat because God just called me out. I got to get over the side of this boat because God just called me out. How many has God called out and you've yet to take the step over the side of the boat? You don't have to take a leap. You don't have to jump in with a cannonball. All you've got to do is get over the side of the boat. Get over the side of the boat onto the water. He's calling you out. He says, I am He. Now, do not go to the YMCA and try to walk on water. This is my disclaimer for anybody listening to this message. I'm not giving you permission to go try to walk on water. I am, however, saying God is calling you out. God is calling you out. He's calling you out of darkness into marvelous light. He's calling you out of your situation. He's calling you out to come through the process. They're in a process right now. They're going across the sea. The storms are strong. The winds are strong. Everything is topsy-turvy. Their boat's about to collapse. And then Jesus walks out and he says, come on, Peter. I am He. Come on out here. Peter steps over the side of the boat and starts walking on water. As long as he kept focal eye contact with Jesus, everything was A-okay. But the moment he started focusing on the wind, the moment he started focusing on the waves, the moment he started focusing on his circumstance, the moment he started focusing on his situation, then everything around him started collapsing. The water underneath his feet started collapsing. Peter's walking on H2O, and he's afraid of H2O. He's walking on water, takes his eyes off of Jesus, starts focusing on water, starts sinking in water. We're afraid of the thing that we're supposed to be walking on. We're afraid of the thing that we're supposed to be walking on. We're supposed to be able to walk across the H2O, but we got our eyes on the H2O, and we're focusing on the H2O, and we can't stand on the H2O because we're afraid of the H2O. We can't put our foot on the devil's head because we're afraid of the devil. We can't put our foot on that enemy's throat and say, you cannot come any farther because the blood of Jesus has been applied to my life. You can't not come any further. We're afraid to do that because we're afraid of the devil. I was raised all of my life to be afraid of the devil. I was raised all of my... The devil is defeated. The devil is defeated. The devil is... Let me give you a side note. Jesus crushed that Joker's head 2,000 years ago on a hill called Golgotha. That is the victory. The devil's defeated. Sin's defeated. Death has already been defeated. Jesus hung his head between the locks of his shoulders and said, it is finished. It's finished.
Jesus done this right here. Pulled his elbow pads off. Bounced off this rope. Bounced off this rope. Boom! Dropped it on the devil's head. Dropped the elbow on the devil's head. He's defeated. And for all of you, that was the Rock's finishing move to watch wrestling. Everybody knows. Pull the elbow pad off. He's been defeated. Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid to take the step when God's calling you out. You don't have to take a leap. You don't have to cannonball, but you do have to take a step. Jesus said, come, follow me. The disciples did this. They didn't go. They just went, okay. Hey, James, where's this guy going? I don't know. But he said, follow me. So I'm following him. Where's this guy leading us to? I have no clue. Hey, you want to follow us too? Well, this Jesus? Yeah, this is Jesus. Come on. Dude actually has words that make you feel alive. So come on. And they start following. And they start following. And then they get followers. 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 This is growth happening. You've been through a process. You're going through a process. You're following Jesus. You're walking with Jesus. Jesus is taking you through the process. He's taking you through into maturity. So that you can go out and get other immature people and bring them closer and say, right there, you go talk to that man. And your life is going to drastically change. You go talk to Jesus. I don't have your answer. I can't solve your equation. I can't solve your problem. But if you will take it to Jesus, He's got all the answers. It may not come the way you want it to come. That old song we used to sing, He may not come when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He may not come when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time. Well, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. I couldn't just sing it once. Sang it off key the first time. Had to correct it. But He's an on-time God. It may not come the moment you think it's going to come. Your dream may not arrive. It may be 40 years down the road and somebody bump into you and say, man, how did you get to this place? How did you get right here where you're at? It took a lot of hard work, you know. I put some elbow grease into it. Stayed up late. I stayed up, I fasted, I prayed every day. Stayed up late, read my Bible. How did you get here? To be honest with you, I don't even know. But man, you sacrificed so much of your time, and you've done this, and you've done that, and you've built all of these accolades. How did you get here? What was the turning point? I met Jesus. Amen. I met Jesus. I fell in love with Jesus and I just started following Jesus. Amen. And then I followed Him and I followed Him. And when I didn't feel like following Him, I followed Him. And when doubts arose in my mind, I still got my Bible out and I kept following Him. And when everything started collapsing around me and it started crumbling underneath my feet, and I began wondering, is this the end of my life? Is this all that is? Is this all that's going to take place? Is this all that I'll ever be? I just kept following Jesus. I don't know how in the world I got here, but by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm where I'm at by the grace of God. I'm who I am by the grace of God. So forgive us, Lord, if we ever have a high and lofty thought in our mind that we ever got to the place that we're at in this life with any other power other than your own, because it's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Woo! So let's all stand. Some of you just said, thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. I just want us to pray. I want to pray over you. And I know a lot of you may be going through situations. A lot of you may be going through some stuff. A lot of you may be facing some things in your life right now that you don't understand, that you don't know how to get through. I'm here and I'm telling you that you are able to make it through. You are able to make it through and come out on the other side. It's the process that you're in that's bringing you to a greater, it's bringing you to God's purpose in your life. Don't be afraid of the process. Don't be afraid of the change. Don't be afraid of the thing that you're going through right now. It's all a part of God's purpose. It's all a part of God's plan. It's all a part of what He is working out in your life to get you to the place where He needs you to be in order to reveal His kingdom in this earth. He's wanting to work His kingdom through you. He's wanting to work His kingdom through your life. So do not be afraid of the process. Father, I pray right now for strength in these lives, Father. I pray for strength in our lives, God, that we will not be afraid of the process, that we will not be afraid of a situation, that we will not be afraid of a circumstance, but that we will stand with all of the tenacity that you've given us, that we will stand with all the strength that you've given us, with all the grace that you've given us, and that we will stand upon the Word of God with all of its power, with all of its might, with all of its strength, and that we will stand upon your spoken Word in our lives, the dreams that you've given us, the plans that you've created, and trust that you are working it all out for the good to those who love you. I pray, God, that the faith that we have will not fail. I pray that the faith that we have will not fail, but that it will continue to grow, that it will continue to mature, that it will continue to go through the process it takes in order for us to become a people who will walk by faith and not by sight. We will walk by faith and not worry about the doubt that comes, not worry about the fear that is associated with the faith that comes, but I pray, Father, that we will walk by faith and not by sight. We may not understand where you're taking us. We may not understand this journey that we're on. We may not understand the plan that you have formulated for us in our lives, God, but we are trusting you. We are trusting your plan. We are trusting your purpose. We are trusting your strength. We are trusting your grace. We are trusting in you, Jesus. It is by you, Jesus, that we are here. It is by your grace, God. So I bless these people with your grace, Jesus. I bless these people with your grace, God Almighty, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen and give the Lord a praise. If you need prayer,